Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We thank God for this opportunity that is open for us to be in a moment like this. And we thank God for this technology that's been made available to the fellowship in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning, I've been praying. It's been a very, very, very difficult to clearly establish the direction that the Lord wanted me to go. There's no one is doing. And the reason for that is because there's so much that the Lord is revealing in this season. And you have to understand what God is saying to you, what God wants to say to the church, what God is saying to the nation, to different people, so that we can always hear a word in season. So I'll be sharing a lot from my heart, but I'm going to read the scriptures relating to what the Spirit of the Lord is bringing to the surface. And I want you to be mindful of everything that is here today. I want you to be mindful of the effect, the impact of coronavirus. I want you to be mindful of where you are and why you're where you are, because a paradigm has shifted. Things are not the way it used to be. It's obvious. And when we come out of this time of mandatory shut-in, things are not going to be the same. You can hear the government, our government saying everywhere there's going to be a new normal. A new normal. Meaning a lot of things are not going to be the way it used to be when you go back to work. You're going to see major changes. You're going to see major changes at the airports, flying. You're going to see major changes in every way you do things that have been put in process right now. So there's going to be a new normal, meaning a paradigm has shifted. Things, what has happened has softened and broken us to the point we are willing to follow the shift. Now, if that shift and the shift where we're going is to serve the purpose of why we need to live in a society with order, with understanding, for the good of everybody. That's the purpose of the shift. Amen? Amen. The social distancing was humanly a way to encourage safety, protection, and good health in the midst of a virus. So having that in mind and understanding that you're not in school if you're a student, you're not at work if you used to work, and everything has changed, understand that, digest that, soak that, let that be a reality. So based on that, I want to share a few things with us today. About God, the love of God. The first scripture we want to read from is from Psalms 24. Psalms 24. Verse 1 says, the earth, this earth, meaning the heavenlies, the galaxies, the earth, the human earthly realm. The earth is the Lord's, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. And it goes further to explain how God established it. Now, I want to read another scripture from the book of Psalms, chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, it says, why do the heathens reach? Why do the nations reach, or the Gentiles, they reach? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bounds asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations, the Gentiles, the heathens for thy inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Amen. 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 I want to read one more scripture, and then I will see how the Spirit of the Lord. I want to read another scripture in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, the nations, the heathens shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There has been transitional time in human history. And these transitional times are the crossroads between the way man is going and where God is going. There's a crossroad. And these various transitional or crossroads in human history has a purpose. And in every generation there has been those crossroads or those kairos moments when the timing of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God intercepts the timing of men, the plan of man, the will of man, and the purpose of man. The scripture we started with in Psalms 24 is a revelation that David declared that apart from what we've read about Genesis, the creation of the world by God, David here again is clearly stating that the whole universe, not just the earth, the whole galaxy, everything God created. And then God created man and put man here in the earth. And the world, everything in this world, this habitation of man, everything, he says, belongs to God. Everything. So, there's a parable that Jesus gave about this crossroads between man and God. And this parable, you can read it in the book of Matthew chapter 13, and it's called the parable of the wheat and the weeds, or the wheat and the tares. And in that parable, Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, was revealing the crossroads between man and God at different intervals in human history. But that was to do with the whole world. He said that a farmer went and planted wheat in his field. And then, while men slept, he says, an enemy came and planted tares, planted weeds. He said the servant of the farmer came and they both were growing, and they noticed there's wheat and there's weed. He says, who planted this? You did not plant this. And the farmer said, an enemy has done this. Let both of them grow together until the harvest time. That is the language a farmer understands. That's the language business people understand. Business is profit, wage, time to pay for wages. He said, let them grow together until the harvest time. And when the time of the harvest comes, he says he will send forth his reapers, and they will come and they will separate the wheat from the tares. And then the tares will be destroyed and the wheat will remain. And Jesus gave that parable because farming was a common knowledge and understanding in that dispensation. But basically, in alignment with what the Lord wants to say to us today, I want you to see a harvest time as a crossroad, as a time where there's a shift that takes place that is unavoidable and is unstoppable. It is a time a farmer has decided, by reason of the ripeness of the season that is unavoidable, the farmer must have to harvest. The farmer must have to pluck, must have to harvest that which he has labored and been planting for. And then he has to remove those things that are contrary to his field. Now, there is a statement in the book of James that talks about the waiting process of the farmer. He says, God is not slack concerning his promises. That's also said in the book of 2 Peter 3. But he says, but like a husbandman, he has long suffering. He waits for the early and the latter rain. That's James. In Peter, he says, God is not slack towards his promise, but it's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. That word all means every wheat that God has planted in the earth will come to fruition. Amen. Crossroads. Now, I want to use a few timelines in history to explain this unstoppable crossroads. Unavoidable crossroads. The times of harvest, when God separates the wheat from the chaff. First, God established Adam and Eve in the garden. And I want you to see the intentions of God, the creator of the universe. His whole agenda was to have relationship with man, was to fellowship with man. And in that place of fellowship, that place where he was, it's like a father. They were covered in the glory of God. And in that place of fellowship, God made such provision for man. Adam and Eve, they had everything going for them. They were the first stewards of the earth. Everything, God blessed them with everything. And then God gave them dominion over everything. Over animals, over but everything, God just blessed man. And he says he blessed them, and he says they will just be fruitful and they will multiply. That is God's plan. That is always God's purpose. To bless you, to enrich you, to prosper you, to establish you, and to make you shine. And to give you an overflow, because the whole earth and the fullness of it, God wants to give it to you as man. But there's only one requirement. You have to understand that he's your father. He wants fellowship. He wants relationship. God did not create man to be independent of him, or else why did he create him? God created man for a purpose, is for relationship. Before I go any further, how many of you watching this broadcast, you have children? What do you want from your children? Don't you desire a relationship from your children? Don't you want your children to prosper and be blessed and blossom and flourish? Why do you invest so much in your children? You want to bless them. You want to honor their future. You want them to be established. You want them to prosper. You want them to be in good health. That's what you desire. So God is much, far more than that. So now, the enemy came. Remember the story I just said, an enemy came and planted this. So an enemy came, that's Satan. He came and what did he do? He convinced man to disobey God, to rebel against God, to bring what we call disorder, chaos. Knowing fully well that disobedience will separate man from God and give man his own free, not only free will that God has given to man, but will cause man to now start living independent of God and be comfortable. So guess what happened? They believed it. And what happened? They disobeyed. God will always give man opportunity for repentance. God did not judge Adam, he did not judge Eve, until he gave them an opportunity to say, I did this, I'm sorry, that's over, they are back. But instead, they keep covering and covering and justifying and justifying, covering and covering and justifying. Guess what happened? God said, okay, you've chosen to cast you're not on Satan's side. You've chosen to excommunicate me from fellowship with you by your disobedience. So what happened? The first time that you see something that is not the will of God taking place in creation was when Satan convinced men they had no need of God. And when he convinced them they had no need of God, they can become God on their own. God said, okay, since you want to become your own God, I will let you leave the garden and then establish your own kingdom and your own ways. That's the first time that man found himself now laboring, sweating, suffering to build his own ways of life. And they left the finished work where God has prepared for man to enjoy life and enjoy God. So the first thing I want you to notice, the absence of God, independent of God, was the source of everything evil that is known to men today. The source of everything sickness, the source of every evil under the face of the earth came when man decided to be independent of God. And Satan has taken advantage of that blindness and forever started establishing his own nations, his own people. Amen?
Amen.
But God is merciful. Now, Satan did not create the world. So God, the Bible says God is long-suffering. What is long-suffering? He's long-suffering because he gave man absolute free will. God will never usurp your will, impose on you. God will give you every opportunity to surrender to that which is God. So what happened? Why is the long-suffering of God so far? Because Satan from that moment continued to convince men it's okay to live without God and to be independent of God. And he promised men, now this universe, this earth is mine. So guess what? I will help you prosper. I will let's create our system of life, our culture of life, independent of God. So God, in his mercy towards man, is patient, very patient, waiting for somebody that eventually will say, you know what, there is a God. Somebody created this world. I want to know that person. I want to know if there's a higher power. There's a creator. There's a maker. I want to know if somebody who thought so much about me has a better plan for me. And then all of a sudden, one person will spring up here. This person will spring up here. In other words, all the way from Abel, after Adam and Eve fell, up to Seth, all the way going down to all the various generations that lived, up to Enoch, God always finds a people who ask questions. And their questions is always, there is God, there is a creator, and I know he must have a plan. And they seek after that God, seek after his plan, and they find him. And when they find him, they find that his plan was not what we believe in. There's something better. Something has lied to me. Something has deceived me. Something has convinced me that the creator of the universe is the reason for all this. No, it was sin that came through rebellion. That was not the garden God created for man. So now, the first time, after God gave men plenty of time, then the scripture I read to you, number one is Psalms 24. God says, I'm the owner of everything. You don't hear him say that a whole lot. He leaves men to figure things out. But there comes a time God will say, I own everything. I own the universe. And I own man. And it's time for me to do what I want to do with it. So, in the days of Noah, that was the first time God said, man has become many in the earth, and they have 100% their mind, their heart, their will, their emotions. They have made a decision to be independent of God. They have chosen a way of life, a system of life, a culture of life that is 100% excommunicate God from the earth, or the knowledge of God from the earth. And it's always a deception. But God found one man, and his name is called Noah. And that man in his generation was able to hear God's plan. And God said, see, Adam loved God. They had a relationship. But when he was convinced to rebel and do his own thing, he was kicked out of the garden. He did not own the garden. So now, God said to Noah, the world has chosen their own way. I want you to prepare a way for them to escape what the enemy has planned. I want you to do something that has never been done before. I want you to get the attention of the world. I want you to build this massive thing on dry ground. And I want you to get all the dimensions. And God did whatever he did. And Noah built this big boat called the ark. And in his time, Noah pleaded with that generation from when he was building the ark to when he finished. What was God's plan? The purpose of the ark was to redeem man. But I want to go straight to why the message this morning. The time of Noah was one of those times in history where God says, I am the creator. I am at this point now. I have given man all their choices. And man is not in a position to come back to me. So I want to redeem man and redeem life in the earth the way I have ordained it to be. So I want to give everyone opportunity to choose life, to choose redemption. So God gave them opportunity. And God was saying clearly to that generation, I am taking my place as God. The earth is mine. Everything is mine. I am making the decisions now. I am making the decisions now. It doesn't matter whether you're a child, whether you're a youth, whether you're an adult, whatever you have, everything you have, I'm making the decision. And this is my decision. I am going to cleanse the earth. I am going to purge it because I created it and I know what is destroying it. I am going to cleanse it. I'm going to purge it. But everyone that will continue with life, here's a boat, go into it. Enter into it. When you enter that boat, I know you made a decision on my side and to continue. That whole generation, the Bible says they laughed, they scorned, and they continued to mock. Now, God warned them for 100 years, and then 7 days left, God pleaded with them. That was one of the times Psalms 24 was established, where God speaks and says, I am creator, my decision is final. I will not contend with man, I will not contend with Satan. Now I'm going to cleanse things because I want to restart things, reset things. My brothers and sisters, if you have a computer that is corrupt, and it's getting corrupt, and it's going to destroy all your files, destroy everything you've labored, destroy all. Would you do some cleansing of that computer? Would you free that computer of virus and all the things in there? Or will you let what you have labored, what you've created, things, will you let your invention, everything you have, be destroyed? Because you don't understand the nature of the virus. So God created everything. So now he had to make decision only the creator can make. Nobody else can interrupt this moment. So when the moment started, nobody could stop it. It was a crossroad. So that's the first time God punched the world. There was another time, just for time, there was another time, another example of God's interception in the life of man was the days of Joseph, a man called Joseph. It was the time God again was making a decision that things are going to have to change. But this time, God wanted to reveal his glory to man. He wanted to reveal himself through man and to show that he rules over the nations. And he wanted to use Joseph. So in Joseph's generation, God already knew and determined that the world would be destroyed with famine because of the iniquity of man. The nations are already living their way, and the long-suffering of God waits. So what happened in the days of Joseph? God made a plan, just like Noah made a plan. And that plan was given through a dream to Pharaoh. And Joseph interpreted it, and Joseph prepared the plan. And the plan for that generation was 7 years of food. And then there will be 7 years of famine that will wipe out the world. Guess what happened? What Joseph did saved the world in that time. And it was God's way of revealing his redemption and his love to man. That was a crossroad. I want to share one more crossroad before we go to Jesus. Now, there was another crossroad. And this crossroad was God putting Israel in Egypt. While they were in Egypt, they were there for about 400 years. They came out 430 years. It's a type and shadow of the world we live in today. But Israel were a people that had covenant with God. They started all the way from Joseph, but they have lost that relationship, the example that Joseph left. So now, Egypt is now ruled by Pharaoh. And Pharaoh has a different God, a different agenda, a different plan, a different purpose, a different will. And the children of God, who are God's plan in that generation, were living in Egypt. So guess what happened? The Egyptians made them, subject them, and brought them to a place. After 400 years, they've lost their identity. They've lost their purpose. They've lost their understanding of the will of God, the plan of God, everything that God had for them. They have now almost concluded Egypt was their destination, until a crossroad came. A time of redemption came. Why? Because God has predetermined it. God has made the decision. And some of the decision, God makes it before it starts happening. And when it starts happening, and God has made that decision, no man can change it. So he made a decision that the time will come, the children of Israel must come out of Egypt. Because he owned Egypt, he owned the world, he owned everything. And he knows how to bring people out of bondage, out of lost identity, out of poverty, out of bondage, out of everything they're going through as children of God in Egypt. So what happened? God sent Moses. You will know the story in the book of Exodus. And God made the decision and totally started a process that was unstoppable, And then through that process, he brought the children out of Egypt, and God started again to bless them. Gave them transferred wealth, transferred, gave them good health, gave them wealth, gave them everything, brought them out of bondage, out of the powers of the Pharaoh. And God brought them and told them, he'll give them a promised land and give it to them. Now, the same Israel that God did all this for two generations, there came a time when they started depending on their own will, their own ways, and their own pattern of living outside of God, but God kept a remnant. They did that, and they were warned over and over and over until God now says, I am God, I've given you time, my long suffering, now I'm going to cut you off for a season. And I'm going to give opportunity to the rest of the world to know me, to come to me, to become part of my kingdom. So Israel, who had a covenant with God, who never thought that anything like this would happen, but rebellion, living in rebellion, sustained rebellion, eventually will bring consequences. What are those consequences? You have to come to a point where God says, I am God. And makes a decision, nobody can reverse it. And today is written in the Bible, the nation God made covenant, we were cut off. And then Jesus made a new way for us. The coming of God himself in the flesh now opened a new way for us. What was that way? He took the judgment that was due upon us and then put himself on the cross, died for us, and today what happened? He rose from the dead. What happened to Jesus on the cross? We said it last week, resurrection. It was a decision that God already made. I am the creator. I know the only way to redeem man. And I know the way to bring back life. And the only way to redeem man is for me to become flesh and take the responsibility of the sin of the whole world. And I will die for it. I will be punished for it. Then I will rise again and then give life to man. And that's how God opened the riches, the glory, the favor, the provisions of heaven to every person on the face of the earth. Both Jews, Gentiles, everybody now has opportunity to embrace the glory and the presence and the favor and the blessings of God. This was how the church started. The season we are in the next few weeks, will be Pentecost. The church was born. Now, having shared all this, this just gives you just a few examples. Why did I share this? Because it's also, God has made a decision. And that decision has been made a long time ago. And that decision is the Bible, is here. That God said there will come a time that if men continue in their ways, and they reject God, they become independent of God, and they start sticking to their ways, and they forget God. What does it mean to forget God? We excommunicate him completely from our consciousness, our mind, and now we feel that the world was created from nowhere. We can now live our ways, do our own things, define our lifestyle, define our culture, define everything. History can show how nations rise and fall because of this type of life. So now, God makes a decision. He says, they will come in the last days that some things will begin to happen. And when these things begin to happen, it will be signs that the decision I've made in that generation will stand. And when these things begin to happen, I have provided a new ark. It's not like Noah's physical ark. I have provided a way of escape. I've provided a glorious way. I have provided a way for the whole world through the blood of my son, through Jesus. So now, Jesus is now our ark, just like the days of Noah. So God has allowed man to live the way nations to live their way. Everything is happening. So the last scripture, the other scripture I read to you, says in Psalms 2, God started saying, why are the nations raging? Why are they imagining so much evil? Why are they imagining all these things? Why are they planning to overthrow me, overthrow my son, establish their way, and do their own thing? He says, no. I am going to once more let, when the time comes, let the nations know I am God. The earth is mine, the world is mine, everything is mine. And when that time comes, it will be very obvious. And when that time comes, this is how we describe it in the book of Haggai. This is how we describe it in the book of Hebrews. He says, I will shake every nation. I will shake everything that can be shaken, so that those things that cannot be shaken will be established. And he said, when you see the shaking, you know it's a sign that the time of my decision has come. And this is the time that I make the decision, I make the call, and this is the time for you to choose life, for you to enter the ark, for you to surrender, to give your life to God, to come into my God's original plan for you. And listen, God's original plan in the physical, during the garden, was a place of relationship. God created it for his pleasure, just like human parents. God created it to bless you, to give you inheritance, to establish you. We see it. So now, God says, when we see these signs, we know that the time of his decision has come. And there's only one option to leave from that moment whenever we see the signs. Like the days of Noah, like the days of Joseph, like the days of Moses. There's a place we can now enter, that we can prosper in the midst of trouble. We can be at peace in the midst of calamity. We will succeed in the midst of chaos. A place that has already been prepared. Look at Noah's ark. No matter what happened, they were. They had food, they had everything, and they were fine. Look at the days of Joseph. The rest of the world were starving. Joseph was the one giving them food. God has not changed. Look at the days of Moses. While plague and pestilence was happening, the people who chose the place of God were enjoying. Even they were getting better health. And eventually giving money when they were leaving. So history has proven that when these times come, the best place, you don't have to understand it, you just receive it by faith, to go is in that ark, is Jesus, is the only way out. Because it's the only time where God says, I am God, and it's time for the world to know I am God. And I don't want them to continue in the way that lead them to destruction, the way Satan has deceived them, hides behind the closet, and let them live in that direction that God has not planned. This is the way to go. And this is the way that will prosper you, set you free from bondage, set you out of captivity, give you, restore your hope, restore everything that God intended for us. Especially the church that has backslidden so far. Now, this is the core of this word after saying all this. You see what we are experiencing right now. We call it coronavirus. Which is, from the beginning, I've been saying to those people that this thing, it's not a disease that will just had a vision and start going everywhere. Now, America is now investigating. And this was really something that has to do with man. It's in the news. So, we see what has happened. As I'm talking to you now, the whole world is at home. Work suspended. We're getting back to it. You can't fly from one city to the other. You can't fly from one nation to the other. It's not a dream. You can't go to school like you used to. You can't be at your college anymore. Nobody's in their school. They're having it online. The paradigm has shifted. Something has literally awakened the mind of man. Something has shaken the culture of our thinking mindset. My brothers and sisters, The purpose of this message is this. This is a shaking. It's not just a shaking, it's the beginning of major shakings to come. I want you to know today that all the things I shared with you about history, this is history in our own generation. What you are experiencing now is just the beginning of where things are going. God has made a decision before time, and that decision is made, is now taking effect. It doesn't matter who he uses to shake, what he uses to shake, how he uses to shake, but now God is taking control. God now is in charge, and he can use anybody, anything to get the attention of men and to move where he's going. We are moving into the timing of God's agenda. Everything will be subject to God's plan, to God's way, and the way God wants it. Now, when I talk like this, you look like God is trying to impose. No. From the examples I gave to you, you can see that the enemy is the one that imposed on your destiny. God had great plans for you. God has great dreams for you. Just like your physical father, your physical parents. But somebody caused it. So now, I want you to get this. If you are in a college, the school has a system. They have a culture. And they live by that culture. And you come as a student to that school. Are you going to come and destroy, disobey everything the school stands for, disobey how you go to class, disobey your teachers, disobey your lecturers, disobey everything? How long are you going to do that in that school and the school keep tolerating it? Eventually the school will ask you to leave. If you are renting a property, a building, and you keep trashing it, you keep destroying it, you keep wasting it, you keep, when the landlord comes to you, it's like that wasn't the house he built anymore. He can't even recognize it. And he's been pleading with you, do some work here, do some painting here, do some things here. Even at sometimes you're not paying the rent. And you're going through and you're messing up the whole place. The place is trashed. Everything this man built a house for is depreciating. And he's begging you fix it. After a while, how long will the landlord let you stay? If you own a company, a business, and you have a staff in that business that is constantly looking for a way to destroy that company, is stealing from it, is not following the rules, is sabotaging the company, is doing everything wrong, is beginning to create a company, is doing everything contrary to your plan to profit that company, is destroying the future of the other workers in the company. Because he has an agenda that is very destructive. And he continues to openly do it and openly putting it on your face that you can't stop it. And you've been patient. How long will that company survive if you let that person continue? You can just name it. If you're a government and you have laws, the traffic light, the department, all the laws, and people kept, a mayor or a governor keep breaking the law, keep trying to destroy, keep being insubordinate to the president or to the king, the way they have kings. Or somebody running the traffic light all the time, disobeying the law all the time, breaking the law all the time, stealing from IRS all the time, or do everything they're doing is contrary to the way the system is supposed to run for the benefit of other people and for the benefit of the nation. What happens to those people? Is that not the people they arrest and put in jail? Why? To preserve the nation. That's why God says there has to be a point in history where I, the creator, the maker of things, will have to now say, I am in charge. I have to do what I have to do to preserve my creation, my nation, my people. So the season we are living in now is one of those in history. So I want you to know, whether you're a young child, whether you're an adult, whether you're old, there is only one prescription going forward from now, and this is the Bible. Every nation, every state, every individual, every city, everybody on the face of the earth, this is the only way out. From now on, you will see that everyone that chooses to do obey this word, you will see their promotion. You will see what God will do. He says, I will arise and shine. You will arise and shine, and my glory is going to visit you. Whether a city, whether a nation, whether an individual, whether a king, whatever, anyone that follows this now will be following God's plan for this moment. And God says, I will show the world what I will do with those. But then, those that will not follow this, you will see going forward what is about to happen. History is about to repeat itself. And this is the time God is the only one who makes a decision. And everyone will now make a decision if God is God or is not. But it's no more in our hands. Our time to rule and to make and to do all things is expired. It's totally expired. So what you're going to see from now is what is written in this Bible. They are going to happen one after the other. As it is written, God's decision is going to run from here. Stay tuned. We're going to share more about it. But that's where it's going. So this is not a time for you to, you know, you can get angry, you can get frustrated. But wise people will know God's plan for you is the best in a time like this. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He will keep you. Psalms 91 says, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, but you are going to be blessed. Why? Because God is telling you ahead of time the direction to choose. Don't wait until it's too late. The coronavirus shaking is just the sign saying the time has come and things are not going to be the same, and everyone that follows my decision are going to be in control. So that's where things are going. That's why I shared what I shared. There's no more time to beg. There's no more time to cry. It is time for you to make a decision and enjoy what God's blood, what God has provided through His Son. The righteous, I want to tell you today, the true church, you are bound to experience the power of God. You are bound to see the favor of God. You are bound to be rewarded. The world is about to know that God loves you. God planned for you. God has great things for you. And I'm provoking those who have not known God now. This is your moment to now see that God all along has been wanting to bless you and bring you into His plans and purpose. I am saying this again, and may this word be a witness. Everyone that rejects God in this season, you will regret it. You will regret it like never before, ever. Because He has given so much time, and there's no more time left for Satan to continue what he's doing. God says, no, it's my time now. So I encourage you. This is the time of salvation. This is not the time to beg people to be saved. This is not the time to be begging. You beg people to be saved, they do things their way. No, 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 no. You can remain unsaved if you want. But you will see. You will see very soon who controls the world, who owns the world, and the way he wants the world to run. It doesn't matter if it's a president or kings. Everybody is about to know that God is in charge. You can make the decision now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Father, I thank you. I honor you. Thank you that your plans towards us are good plans. You gave your life because you love us. You died, Jesus, on the cross because you love us. You, our final destination is a place that has not even entered our dreams, what it looks like. And even here on earth, You said you will protect us from all evil. You will keep us even when many are dying here on this. You said we'll be under your covering, your provision, your angels. God, what a promise. So I thank you, Father, that those whose hearts and ears have ears to hear, it is time. No more begging. Father, it is conviction by your Spirit. Do it, O God, so that you separate the hearts of men. You say, as you separate, as a farmer separate the weed from the wheat, so will your word, like a two-edged sword, separate that which is you and those that are not you. Father, raise up your church and remove that which is not of you. Your children know your voice. They will follow you. They will submit. They will obey you. They will serve you with all your heart. It is time. Have your way. And glorify your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.